You've got a Bible, let's grab it. Psalm chapter 85, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 85 is where we'll be. And this Wednesday, September 28th, we'll begin this journey. I just explained the devotionals. That's how it will kind of start off. And then next Sunday, October 2nd, we'll kick this thing into high gear, where we're going to move for the next 6 weeks into our capital campaign to talk about raising money over the next 3 years to pay for the building we are constructing on I-49 and Weddington Drive. And so you may say, okay, so the next 6 weeks is about fundraising. I would beg to differ. I think the next 6 weeks is about faith raising. And I think if we get the fundraising and miss the faith raising, I think we've missed the entire journey that God wants us to be on. And so it really is a journey that we've designed for your heart and for your soul, for your spiritual life. And so I just hope that you'll join us on this journey over the next 40 days. Like I said earlier, you don't have to be a member of this church to join us for the next 40 days. You don't have to be a regular attender. Man, if you're just now coming into the life of this church, man, come on the journey with us. It may surprise you of what God may do in your own life here through this. I'm desperate for you to meet with God the next 40 days. In my seat on the bus called Cross Church, man, I'm desperate for you to meet with God. I really am. And even while we were singing that song, I'm praying over here like, God, I'm setting these people up to like experience you. God, would you come through? I mean, it's kind of a weird place for me to be. I'm like, hey, man, it's going to be significant days. Could be the greatest days of your life and the greatest days of this church. So God, please come through. Right? And that is my desire, that we would meet with God in a very personal way. And yet, here's what I would tell you. Remember that key word for today is preparation? You have to prepare to receive what God wants you to receive. You have to prepare to receive what it is that God wants you to receive. I want to just read one verse of Scripture today. It's Psalm 85, 6. And the Bible just says this, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" As you read this passage, I mean, you can read the chapter in just, you know, a few minutes. It's interesting that as you look at it all, he's pointing back to a time when God had moved. And he says things like this, "God, would you restore us again? Would you revive us again? Would you show us your love again? Would you speak to us again?" And some of you, when you think about the next 40 days, part of your prayer is, "God, would you take me back to the way it used to be with you?" Like where at one point, man, your heart was on fire for God. You were involved in church, man. You were serving God regularly. You're being a witness in your office. There was a time when that was going on. And yet for whatever reason, and it's probably even unintentionally, you find yourself at a spot now where you're like, man, I just wish I could go back there. These 40 days are all about that. Of God bringing you back to life spiritually, of reviving that hot heart for him again. You see, when I think about the question we're asking God, it is that question, will you not revive us again? Like, will you not meet with us powerfully the next 6 weeks? Will you do something special and like visit us with your presence the next 6 weeks? And it's this mindset again of, man, if you've been here for 5.5 years like I have, you remember those times when God does show up. I think last week was one of those, by the way. But I think you can recount other times. Man, I remember when Nick preached on blank, or Brandon preached on blank, or Noe preached on blank, and God just shot a rocket to my heart of, this is for me. I remember when David or Shane sang that song, and it was on that day I was going through this. You can think back to those times when the presence of God fell on this church and in your life. And you think, man, I just want to see that again. That's kind of the question we're asking God. For the next 40 days, God, will you not revive us again? Will you do that again here now in us? Here's the more important question that I think that God is asking us. Here's what it is. Will you not prepare to be revived? Will you not prepare to be revived? As I said, if you want to join this journey starting Wednesday and carrying through all the way through November 6th, I think you got to prepare over the next few days. I think you got to get to the point where you, even today, you're like, okay, God, we're about to go on this journey together as a church, and I'm about to go on this personally. And God, would you help me prepare for that? Would you clear just sin out of my life right now? Would you help me to focus on you? Would you get me in the right perspective and with the right focus? I think God's asking us, will we do that kind of preparation for what's about to start on Wednesday? If you're a gardener, you can understand some of the preparation illustration here. I talked to David McKinney. David is actually leading at Springdale Pinnacle today. And I said, man, I'm using this illustration about gardening. And he said, you know what? He said, actually, the best time to prepare the soil to be planted in and ultimately bring a harvest is like months before. And so you got to do work on the soil months. And I've seen him in action do this, by the way. But you got to do preparation with the soil so that when it's really time, you can have something happen. So in other words, you got to prepare the soil. You have to maybe build a little fence around so that your plants don't get eaten by animals. You have to plant the right kind of seeds because, listen, when the rain comes, will the soil be ready? I think that's the real question for our hearts today. When God rains down the next 6 weeks like we're believing him to, will you be prepared to receive what he wants you to receive? You see, I'll say this week. I'll say it again next week. I may say it all 6 weeks. I don't know. We'll see. Here's the most tragic situation that could happen over the next 6 weeks. Over these next 40 days, just a travesty. Here's what it would be. God, I saw you move all around me, but you did not move in me. Of man, I've felt the presence of God when we joined together on Sundays, but I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't really at a spot where I could hear and receive what God really wanted me to receive. That's tragic, man. And my desperate heart and cry for you today is don't be in that situation. Prepare your heart for this, okay? I'm going to just give you what I'm just calling a revival prayer, okay? This is the prayer for the next 3 days, okay? Today, Monday, Tuesday. Here's what I'm asking you to pray, okay? As you prepare your own heart, you prepare the soil of your soul. Here's a revival prayer. God, help me to get what you want me to get. I'm listening and surrender to you. Now, that's an Arkansas prayer if there ever was one, right? God, you just help me to get what I need to get. God, what you giving? Because I want to get it. Whatever it is in my life and in my faith and in my spiritual life that you want me to get, God, just help me to get it. I'm listening, and the most important part is this, and I'm surrendered to you. Flat out surrendered, whatever it is you want to do in me, you do it, Lord. As I said, today's going to be completely different with the remainder of our time. That's the end of my sermon, okay? But you're not dismissed. As we think about preparing our heart for what's about to come next week, I'm going to invite our pastoral staff, not all of them, but several of them, to come up to the stage now. And I'm just going to kind of do a little panel discussion with them today that I think you'll find very helpful as we move towards these next 40 days, okay? And so they are going to be coming out here with just bulging muscles, carrying those heavy stools. Luke, wow, that was good. That was even better, that little pose you did. But I want to talk to them today about their lives, about their journey here, about what they sense God is doing. And like I said, I think this is all great preparation for where we're about to go as a church. And I almost fell off the stage last service. I'm not sure if anyone noticed, but I almost did, okay? And so here's where I want us to start today. I want to just start, Mills, I'll start down here with you. And everybody just give 30 seconds of who you are, give a little word about your family, and then what you do here at the church. So Mills, start us out.
Yeah, my name's Brian Mills. I'm the college pastor here at Cross Church. Thank you for that screen. I've got a wife that we've been married 14 years as of this past week. I've got a little 11-year-old girl and a 10-year-old boy, Parker and McKenna. My name is Shane. I am the associate worship pastor here. I am from Van Buren, Arkansas. Go Pointers. Anybody?
One.
Hannah Petty. See, there's one Pointer in here, and I knew who it was, and she probably knows my entire life story. That will happen anytime anyone raises their hand.
Yeah, sounds like a Lifetime movie right there.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm the associate worship pastor here, which means basically in addition to helping David lead on Sunday mornings, I help him behind the scenes with the worship ministry. So from scheduling the guys and girls that you see on stage to development and discipleship of musicians, also the worship pastor for the college ministry, and I oversee the worship for the student ministry. I've been married to my wife, Chelsea, for 5 years. About 3 years ago, we were introduced to the reality of infertility and what that meant for us. And so through that, God led us through into the world of foster care about a year ago. And about a year ago, we got two boys that came into our home. They are now ages 2 and 5. A lot of you know them. Most of you know our five-year-old because he disregards all social norms for boundaries to give you the biggest hug that you've ever seen in your life. And he's pretty awesome. So they're special, and we are hoping to be their forever family one day.
Cool. All right, Luke.
My name is Luke Harper. I'm the student pastor here. So I oversee 6th through 12th grade ministry here at Cross Church Fayetteville. I've been married to my beautiful wife, Kelsey, if you're watching this, love you, for 2 years.
And thanks for that.
You know, like good. How I did that? You got to score some points. You know, she's out of town, so.
That's good.
Boom.
Thanks.
But, yeah, that's me.
All right. Brandon, please, quick.
Let me start off by saying this. If y'all have y'all noticed that Cliff intentionally let his chair up to be bigger than me today? Like, this is two services in a row that he's sitting higher than me. I'll give you today, because this is the only day in your life that you'll be bigger than me.
That's good. That's good.
My name is Brandon Kennedy. My title here is Pastor of Evangelism. I also have a great privilege to lead our men's ministry, as well as our young single adult ministry, which is called 242, which is a great ministry here. I also help with our assimilation process here, just like Cliff does. Been here, this November will be 6 years at Cross Church. Been married to my wife for 8 years. We have 3 kids in 8 years, so we don't play around kind of deal. And but I think we're done with kids now. So
Carly's just going. So, yeah. That's how you don't score points, okay? Right there. All right, Cliff. Hey, 30 seconds. All right, we got to go through this.
Totally different direction than the first service.
Yeah.
But my name is Cliff Anderson. I'm the adults pastor here. And this is how you don't score points or score points, whatever, is you forget to talk about your wife and kids in the first service, which I did. So, Sarah, if you're in the lobby, I've been married to you 14 years almost, and it's awesome. I have two sons, 7th grader and a 4th grader, Caleb and Will. But I do adult small groups here. And kind of lead and coordinate our first impressions, which is parking, greeters, ushers, and helping assimilating people into the life of the church.
You can imagine how special it is to be the female in this crew right here. I'm Jennifer Francis. I'm the director of women's and preschool ministry here. I've been married to my husband, Josh, for almost 9 years, and we have a 7-year-old son, Brody, and a 6-year-old daughter, Jillian.
And I'm Phil McMichael. I'm the discipleship pastor here. I oversee day-to-day operations and lead our ministry team. And my wife is Rachel. We have a 3-year-old daughter, Emma Grace.
All right. Phil, let's stick with you. Phil, if you ever wonder, like, the structure here at our Fayetteville campus of how does that work, Phil really runs this campus, just FYI. He's the guy to take all your problems to, okay? I'm just kidding. No. No, we lead this thing together, but he really does oversee the day-to-day ministry and operations here. So, Phil, talk about your journey here to Cross Church and give us 30 seconds on that.
Yeah, I was a student pastor for 16 years. About 6 years ago, I met my wife at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, where I was a student discipleship pastor. We got married there. We went to Madison, Mississippi, where I was a student pastor for 2 years. And then about 2 years ago, God called us here.
Cool. Jennifer, why don't you got an interesting journey here. Talk about that.
Yeah, I was just a church member at the Springdale campus. My husband and I joined there about two months after we got married in 2007, and so we served there, we were connected there, and then when the Fayetteville campus launched, we came over here, and we were volunteers and connected in small group here just as lay people until about a year into the campus when I was brought on staff in a part-time role. Just as director of women's ministry, and then just kind of over the course of the last 4 years, my responsibilities have grown, and last month I went on full-time on staff.
It's good. Let's skip all the way down. Shane, talk about your journey. Not that you guys aren't important, but we'll come back to you. Shane, talk about your journey here to Cross Church, because you're kind of, both of you guys kind of were here and then came back. Talk about your journey.
Yeah. So I came up here for college in 2008 to the university. In 2010, God called me to full-time ministry, and so I found myself into an internship at Cross Church. And so, like I said in the last service, I'm a product of Cross Church. I interned at Pinnacle Hills in the student ministry. Came on full-time shortly after I got married. And then 2012, my wife and I moved out to Charlotte, North Carolina to serve at a church there a short time. And then we moved to Asheville, North Carolina to help a church there start a new campus as the worship pastor. And then 2 years ago, basically today, moved back here to join the Cross Church Fayetteville team.
Cool. Mills, 30 seconds on your journey.
Yeah, I started here as an intern back in 99. So a while back, Nick was in high school at that time.
Stallion. I'm a high school student.
But along that journey, God's been super faithful. I got married at Cross Church and at the Springdale campus. Left here, been in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Houston, Texas. Spent a lot of time in Nashville, Tennessee. And all that journey that the Lord's allowed us to do some pretty cool things in ministry started right here. So it's a pretty special place for us.
That's awesome. Brandon, you've got a unique story involving Cross Church of your own life. Give us 60 seconds on kind of you and Carlisa's story related to Cross Church, and then just kind of what this church means to you.
Yeah, so we came to Cross Church in 2007 as lost as they come. Heard the word of God faithfully proclaimed and surrendered our life to the Lord in this church. So in a real sense, my theology and my doctrine were formed here in this church, you know, outside of seminary, which I'm walking through right now. But everything that I've learned about God doctrinally and theologically has been gained right here in this church. So my wife and I, our affection for this church is probably abnormal because of the significance that this church has had in our lives and how it helped to change our family's life in the process of all that. So this church is very special to us, and that's why we've been loyal and faithful to this church.
That's cool.
The whole time.
Let's fill in the congregation with some of our conversations this week. Obviously, another week of extreme racial tension across our nation. And I think sometimes we're wrestling saying, okay, so what is the way forward? How do we respond to this? We know that Jesus is the answer and that the church should lead the way. But how would you advise us as a church who wants to become more and more and more diverse and reaching people from all different kinds of races? What is the path forward? Give us a 60-second listen. This is what we need to do as a church.
Yeah, I think if you're not careful, you will utter out the words, Jesus is the solution, which we ultimately know that he is, and I think we leave it there with no tangible action to go along with that. We just say, well, Jesus, you know, is the solution, and then everything else will figure itself out. But the truth is, when it comes to racism in this country, you know, and everything that's going on, we have to explicitly talk about these things in order to break down some of the cultural barriers that we are up against. For example, if a person, and I don't see anybody in here with one, but if a person in a turban walked into this room, there are some predetermined, preconceived notions in our minds about what we think that person to be. And the question is why? It's because we don't know that person, nor do we know the culture that they represent. And we don't know that. We are ignorant of it because we've never embraced them, nor do we have friends that look like them. So that very person may absolutely hate ISIS, may be completely against of any of the stuff that we see in media that the Islamic faith appears to present, but we never know that because we don't embrace that person because they are from a different culture. So as a church, I say two things. Engagement is key. We must engage people that do not look like us. Not on a surface level to talk about the football game from last night. That's cool, but we got to go deeper than that. And then I would say, secondly, it's the content of your engagement. We got to engage people with the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ manifests itself through us through tangible deeds to people that don't look like us. That's where we start, and that's where we got to go forward as a church.
That's great, man. That's great. Very helpful. Cliff, you had no prior relationship to Cross Church. Cliff and I met on Twitter.
Please don't tell anybody that again.
Yeah. Once it came out, I was like, well, that didn't quite sound right. But he reached out over Twitter one time, and then we ended up hiring him a few months later. So talk about what it's been like. You were on the original staff here 5.5 years ago. What's this journey been like? Give us 60 seconds or so.
Well, I mean, initially it's just been an incredible journey. I mean, several of you were on our core team. We had about almost 300 people that were on our initial core team to launch this campus January 16th, 2011. I've served on this is my fourth church staff to serve on. And I can just tell you from my experience, seeing other churches, being at other churches around the country, what God has done here in these 5.5 years is not normal. So you may have come in here today or come to Cross Church whenever you first came here and just think, man, this is what church is. But it's the way it is here because God has his hand and has blessed and worked here over these 5.5 years. You know, now we average about 2,200 a Sunday from that initial core team of just about 300. So God has really done incredible work here. We've seen over 1,000 people baptized in our 5.5 years here. And that just doesn't happen. And it's not because of any person up here on this stage. I mean, we just try to be great stewards of what God has asked us to do in our own ministry areas. But it is God's hand and the prayers for, I think, many years of families at Springdale, families at Pinnacle Hills, that once we launched a campus here in Fayetteville, God answered those prayers, continues to answer those prayers. And it's just exciting to be a part of, you know, what God's doing here and what he's going to do in the future.
That's great. Luke, give us, you've been here since June, and you run 6th through 12th grade ministry. Give us a 30-second snapshot, which I'm beginning to give time limits here to everyone, so we can answer all these. Give us a 30-second snapshot of what God is doing right now in the student ministry.
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm watching. I got a clock right there.
25.
I got a countdown right here. Now, last few weeks, we've done a thing called the Cross Students Takeover, and basically we've done these crazy theme nights. I've dressed up in a lot of weird outfits, but we've seen God bring more students than we've ever seen here at Cross Church Fayetteville come to our church and experience what we've been doing. Had students that were on the core team that Cliff was talking about that were gathered around a DVD player 5 years ago watching videos together, came up to me in tears. At the end of services we've had over the last month, just blown away at what it's been. Just to give you a little bit of perspective, we had about 40 or 50 students towards the end of May. We had 190 people 3 Wednesdays ago. And so our student ministry has literally tripled, and that has nothing to do with anything that I've done or our staff has done. It has everything to do with just the Lord has really gripped a lot of our students' hearts to invite their friends and be missionaries on campus. And it's been every week. I joke with these guys, like, I don't know what's going on, but I hope it doesn't stop. So
it's cool. Give them a few bullets, okay? So I tried one strategy that didn't really work. Give me a few bullets. No, you were double the time. I looked, and it was 10:46 and 10:45. Never mind. Give us a few bullets of like you can tell who the preachers are on this stage. Give us a few bullets of what we can be praying for. What's your greatest need right now as you look at the future? Those kind of questions.
Yeah, I would say a few needs. One, I would say prayer. With what's been going on, we need to be good stewards of what the Lord's entrusted to us. So be praying for our staff and our volunteers as that goes. A need, we need space. We're having to get pretty creative.
We all need space, Luke.
Well, I got the mic right now, so... we're over there in that office space, and God keeps bringing students, and so that's just, to be quite frank, this building is a blessing ahead of us, and so all of our students are really excited. And then I would say another need is for some of you that are sitting in this room, students, for you to get involved, but also parents and volunteers. We have more students than we've ever seen we got kids coming from West Fork and just weird places like that. I just met 3 kids from Huntsville that drove in.
Many to reword that. It's not a weird place. It's just weird that they've driven
all the way.
It's weird
that they're coming that far.
Yeah, that's better.
I love West Fork. That's better. It's great.
That's better. Yeah, all you West Fork families, thanks for coming to Cross Church today.
Hey, listen, I appreciate all the West Fork people.
Yeah, they can tell.
Cross Church.
They can tell.
But to say, all right, I'm going to try to pull this back together. No, I would say that we need our church to be the church to some of these kids. I would say that of that 190 a few weeks ago, a lot of those kids are lost and are coming because of friends inviting them. And we need the body of Christ to love on those kids, because my relationship or our services won't keep them the people of Cross Church and their love and affection from what Jesus has done in their life. If we need that in these students' hearts and lives. And so that'd be what I would say.
Yeah, I think back to my own time in student ministry. It was very valuable, me being in a relationship with student pastors. What was also cool is me being in a relationship with volunteers who were businessmen and businesswomen, who that was their ministry in this church, which is an awesome deal. I was over there at the Arvest space 3 weeks ago. It was like you kicked over an ant bed, and there were teenagers just scattered everywhere. Like, all over the parking lot, their parents lined up, and it was just a crazy deal. Mills, give us 60 seconds. You said you've been here, and then you came back. Why would you come back? What was the draw here?
You know, I think when I met with you and your dad, we were meeting over, we were meeting in your dad's office, but then you and I met over Chewy's.
That's what's up.
But when we were meeting together, and my wife and I were really praying where the Lord wanted us to be, and some unique doors for us were opening, and it was kind of an interesting season of our life. But we've always put our yes on the table, and our yes has always been on the table for the Lord to do whatever he wants to do with our family. And then we've always said this: we want to be a part of a movement of God. We've always, as a family, just wanted to keep our yes and been a part of what God's doing. And God's doing something pretty incredible here at Cross Church. And so when you're talking to me saying you get the opportunity to oversee a collegiate ministry, I can't imagine a better spot to be a part of to see God do something extraordinary worldwide. And I just believe that God could use college students, and Cross Church believes majorly in college students. And I just believe being a part of that, we could send students out all across this world into workplace, literally missions and workplace ministry, and see God just explode this world through what took place right here in this room or through the ministry of Cross Church. And that gets me excited to be a part of a movement. I pray daily, Lord, let me be a part of a movement that you've created. And I think that could happen right here. I think it's happening right here at Cross Church.
That's great. That same night, you think about college students, you think about children, student ministry. I mean, that you think about our impact on the next generation. 3 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we had about 300 kids and volunteers involved in Awanas. At the same time, I had 190 involved in 6th through 12th grade ministry, and then had 800 college students in this room over two services. And you think, man, are we investing in the next generation as a church? You better believe it, man. We're like in the greatest days of our lives in that. Phil, you have a unique spot where you do oversee everything. Take 30 seconds. What are you sensing? God, it's not a shot that I gave you 30. We're just running out of time. I got to work on the clock, okay? So what are you sensing that God is doing right now amongst our staff and in our church?
The first two things that come to my mind. One is the depth of ministry we're doing with our different age groups. We're still reaching people the way that God's allowed us to do in the past, but now it seems like we're taking people deeper. And the second thing is just the anticipation of the new building. I think we're all praying, hopefully, we're praying hard for a great awakening. And as we see this new building start to come closer, not that the two are, you know, necessarily dependent on each other, but I think there has to be some anticipation for what will day one look like at the new building when we have room to fit whoever can show up.
Yeah, that's good. Jennifer, real quick, 10 seconds. It's not a shot. I have the
only girl on the stage, and I get 10 seconds.
Oh, here we go.
I was kidding.
Take the next 14 minutes, okay? I'm just kidding. All right, take 30 seconds, Jennifer. I'm sorry. Talk about what excites you about the future, about the new building, all those kind of things.
I joked with the first service that the thing I'm most excited about with a new building is an indoor playground for preschoolers. The preschool volunteers are the ones that are saying that. But no, what excites me the most is we've talked about these 40 days that are ahead
I think, you know, we've all at some point today have mentioned that God's hand is on this place, and we've seen things done here that really are just God-sized movements. And so I'm excited about the next 40 days to see what the Lord does through our lives personally and through our lives as a church and just as we go forward to the new building.
Cool. Cliff, you're involved in the construction conversations with Milestone Construction, everything we're going through there. I will give you 10 seconds because you're a man, and I will not get demeaned here. What excites you most about the new building?
Before you get in the new building, we will walk through a parking lot.
Yeah, let's
give
it up for that.
600 parking spaces. Now, that is exciting, but, I mean, you just think about the building we have here. It's 15,000 square feet, so you picture almost four times the size what we currently have for ministry. So the worship center will be, you know, similar to this, just larger, still intimate. We're not going to lose that. It'll be an incredible place to worship. And then children, preschool space. It's just what we have now, it's just spread out a little bit. And so I'm really excited just about the opportunity that we have to reach more people.
Cool. All right, let's move towards closure here. Brian, I'm going to come back to you. You have seen a lot of great churches, been in some of the greatest churches in America. I think we're here, and if you've been here for 5.5 years, we're so close that sometimes it's hard to even recognize the activity of God going on here. What do you sense as a newcomer to Cross Church about what God could do here? Take 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think as just a new guy coming in and a guy who's been in a lot of places, I think it's unexplainable. It's something I've been saying to the college minister on Wednesday nights. I think it's unexplainable what God could do here. And I think that would be really, really neat to be a part of. You know, I watch this church and I watch how they're loyal and they follow the leadership that God gives you and gives the leadership of our church and the vision of the church. I watch how they serve. And for goodness sakes, right, if you come here, you got to work. Sometimes you got to bring in your own chair. And it's just incredible seeing how this group of people just serve. And I watch how they grow through small groups and evangelism and all that's taking place. And I think if all that comes together, that's the book of Acts, right? I mean, that's Acts chapter 2 of what God's doing right here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. If all that comes together, I think we'll step back in that new building, which we desperately need, and we'll step back and say, this is of God. This isn't just like you've been saying, Nick, this isn't a building. This isn't about a bit. This is of God. And I want to be a part of that. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be a part of something that I step back and say, this is of God. And churches I've stepped back in and said, wow, that's a move of God taking place. I think we're seeing it, but I think we're about to see it in an incredible way.
Yeah, it's good. Brandon, I'll give you the last word here. And I want you to just talk about preparing your heart for the next 40 days. As they may be out here saying, okay, so I'm ready to go on the journey, but what in the world does that look like? How do I prepare my heart spiritually to receive what it is that God wants me to receive? You take a minute and go for it.
So I would say this, whenever you look back over history, any great revival of God that has taken place, it has first started through repentance. Mm-hmm. It is the people of God laying prostrate before Jesus Christ with their heart laid bare and their life surrendered to Jesus Christ, saying, whatever is in me that is not of God, would you extract it out of me and would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And then God places his hand on those people and we see major moves of God that have taken place all over the world. And so what does that mean for you and I? I know personally that I am a full-blown sinner. When I step off this stage, I'm a sinner. On this stage, I'm a sinner. Anywhere, I'm a sinner. And everybody in this room is a sinner. And so we have things that we could lay bare before God today so that God would begin to do a work in us that is, like Brian said, unexplainable. These 40 days that are coming up, here's my hope. That we would get on our face before God, lay our hearts bare before our Creator, and come out November 7th completely and radically change for the cause of Jesus Christ. When we come out of November 7th, thank you guys. November 7th, here's my heart. That we would be so on fire and our volume in our spiritual life so turned up for the cause of Christ that the city of Fayetteville will say, I don't know what in the world is going on through those crazy cross church people, but I want to be a part of it. That's what I get excited about. And that's what this 40-day journey is about. 40 days of faith. May God do a work in us that is absolutely unexplainable.
It's good stuff. And so here's the plea, okay? As we close our service today, here's the only thing I'm asking of you today is that you would just go on the journey with us. That this wouldn't be something, well, I go to Cross Church and they're doing like this We Believe deal, 40 days of faith. No, that ain't it, okay? We believe that God wants to do something great over the next 40 days that grows and that deepens your faith. And so here's the only ask I have of you today, okay? Give God 40 days, just 40. Not talking about giving him 90, not 6 months, not even giving God a year. Give him 40 days, maybe for the very first time that's ever happened in your life where you say, God, whatever, 40 days, a day by day, by day, walk with him closer than you've ever walked. I encourage you, don't miss these 6 weeks when we gather together. We're believing God to radically do something crazy on these 6 days or six weeks that we're meeting. So don't miss these Sundays. Make that a part of your journey. And let's God see, as Brandon said, let's wake up November 7th as a church radically changed. And here's the plea. You wake up November 7th, radically changed. Again, travesty to say, God moved all around me, but he didn't move in me.